we mentioned earlier that Rasmus Sandin essentially got the turkey dump today. Kyle Dubas sends him a late night text. Well, let's meet at Tim Hortons and we'll talk about it, and I'll let you know exactly why we're going to turkey dump you on down to the Marlies.
Hey, I think Travis Dermott's coming. I think this kid
Dermott's probably, coming
this
back.
Is not a turkey dump.
Well, it actually is. That doesn't. I mean, listen, a lot of people are texting in saying, I got the turkey dump, and then we got back together at Christmas. I think Rasmus Sandin is going to be a part of this team again at some point this
year. For
sure, year.
They're getting back together.
Yeah, they're going to get back together, but that doesn't mean it's not like it's news he wants to hear, right? He's going to have to accept that he's a kid, and it's,
who
I think, in the,
who
the best
to
interest
that
of...
news? Is that the GM, or is
yeah,
it...
Yeah, no, it's a GM.
He's watching Peter Jacobson tackle that guy.
Somebody sent it to me. I'm like, I can't stop laughing about it. I mean, he gets up and he's got his arms in the air like he did something special.
No, he didn't do anything special.
No, getting back to the Sandin situation, it's the GM.
Like, oh, the GM has
Kyle Dubas.
I'll bet you Babcock's
good.
Involved, though. I wouldn't
For
be
sure.
shocked if he's right in there.
There's a face-to-face, especially if it's after practice or something. You want to let the kid know that he's special. Like, this isn't, hey, we're sending you down because you had a bad turnover. This is what's best for the player.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wouldn't surprise me if Mike Babcock was in there, but guaranteed the general manager would be in there.
Right, it's his decision,
hey,
ultimately,
we're gonna
up and down.
We're going to send you down to the Marlies. You know, this is what we'd like you, you know, Sheldon knows what we've talked about up here. Like, I think the one thing that... And again, I'm not behind closed doors, but I think Kyle's a really good communicator. So I don't think he's going to leave the kid in the wind. He probably called the agent and said, we're going to send him down. This is what our thought process is. You know, make sure he's comfortable. He's 19. He's living in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure he's fine.
And I think he understands how valued he is within the organization.
He's a big part of the future of this organization, too.
Absolutely. He probably didn't want to believe it, but... He's human. He probably showed up in September and thought, I'm probably not going to make the team. Right. So it was probably a bonus, the fact that he got to play for the first, you know, week and a half in the NHL.
Right.
And again, I think this is not necessarily about next October. I think there's a very good chance that Rasmus Sandin is up here playing minutes come February, March, April.
It wouldn't surprise me in the new year if he wasn't.
Yeah. If he goes down there and continues to develop and mature and gain some confidence. Now, when he comes up, he's probably going to be on a third pairing again, but you're also bracing yourself for a potential injury. Correct. What if Morgan Rielly gets injured in March? Then maybe you need him up here playing power play time or penalty kill time or going up against better competition.
Yeah,
so
he'll be doing more than just filling in.
He'll be playing at that point, and you're going to need him.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What was your reaction to the Rasmus Sandin news?
Not surprised. You know, as the minutes sink a little bit and, you know, you get closer to Dermott returning, and so the minutes aren't going to go up. I think it's important for him, more important for him to play than to, you know, I don't buy this thing about, oh, you get better practicing all the time. I just know when, if that were me, after about seven practices, you'd be like, okay, this stinks. I want to play some games. And he's 20 years old, and I don't see a way for him right now to play more minutes. So I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, I think the explanation was sound. I mean, Babcock said it. He said, not going to play power play, not going to play penalty kill. This is about development. It's about a role he's going to play in the future. Like, they're not trying to mold him into being a fifth defenseman.
No.
They want him to be a top pair guy if he can get there.
Yeah, the other thing to think about this too, like you guys were talking about, you know, if he comes back and or when he comes back, however, whenever that is, you know, if somebody were hurt, you just think, like, it's not like he was standing out like, oh my God, you can't believe how great he is, because he's just a kid on a third pair. So if he comes back and plays in a different pair, then you're playing against better guys more often. And that's even a greater challenge. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we see somebody either scoring a little bit on a fourth line or playing in a third pair and think, well, why don't they just move them up? And the reason is they're probably, for the most part, playing at a level that suits where they're at. And going up against more challenging players is not always a real good idea.
Well, speaking of further down the lineup, how about Frédéric Gauthier?
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
He looked like Mark Messier. I had to watch his shifts today. Like, he was wheeling up and down the ice. And I'll tell you what, he was a factor in two of those goals. Like, being, and the only way I can describe it, and we have fun with this guy, but in years past, he just looked like a guy out there that wasn't even playing hockey. Like, it was like, chip it in the corner, maybe go get it, be a foot short, miss it, chase it to the other side. Like, he's actually making plays that are impacting the game, and I'm happy for the
kid. I think his skating's better. Like, I don't, I didn't think he was a terrible skater before at all, but it wouldn't surprise me, and they've got, you know, skating coaches and stuff. To me, he looks a lot more confident in his skating.
And I'll give them credit, Jamie, because I would have cut ties years ago. How many years has it been? How many years has it been since we interviewed him?
It's been a long time. It's been
5 or 6.
Yeah,
minimum.
6 years, I think. I think it was the 2013 draft.
Okay, here's another thing. And you tell me, guys, if you agree with this or not. You get to a point where you care less as a player. You're like, you know what? I've been chipping this thing into the corner for 4 years. And, like, screw it. I'm just going to make a play because I'm getting nowhere this other way. I mean, if you feel like you have a more game in your kit, you're gonna go, man, I'm gonna make a pass, and if I screw up, then I'm gonna fix it. And like, you can't do that if you're a role guy early on, for sure with Babcock. Like, if a fourth line guy turns the puck over, he's sunk. Like, that we've seen that. That doesn't jive. And so for, like you say, for 3 years, Freddie was on the punt coverage team. Get it, shoot it down the ice, chase after it, try and crash into somebody. I thought he was unreal in Detroit the other night.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, like, he, on one of the goals, I think it might have been Muzzin's goal. That's the one Timoshov gave across to Muzzin.
Yeah.
But the defensive zone, like, he blew Glenn Denning off his feet. And Glenn Denning's a strong guy. And the GOAT just blew him off his feet in the faceoff. Like, he just, like, steamrolled him. And I was thinking, man, if you're taking a draw against that guy, and now he's got a little aggressiveness to him, man, that's a bear of a face-off. And so first of all, he's fun to cheer for because, well, he's the GOAT. And then as soon as we all heard about he does puzzles and bakes cakes and all that stuff, you're like, damn, it's easy to cheer for this guy. I hope he becomes
a
player.
You're praying he gets there. And he's given the opportunity. Because, quite frankly, I didn't think he was even going to be on the team this year.
No, I didn't
thought he was on life support.
Yeah, when they signed Spezza and they brought in Nick Shore, I'm like, all right, the GOAT's probably in big trouble. And you're right about, you know, the fourth line in the eyes of Babcock, but also the importance of actually making an impact. No coach is going to scoff at that. Like, Babcock kind of attempted to publicly after the game, when he was talking about Timoshov, where he's like, yeah, the goals and everything, that's just a bonus. Well, it's a pretty substantial bonus.
Exactly.
Like, that's kind of why you play, is to score. So, yeah, I get it. You're trying to send a message. I just want you to play hard and hit and pick up your man. But in reality, there isn't a coach in the league who's going to say, well, you're scoring a little bit too much.
Yeah,
or you're
exactly.
creating a little bit too much offense, where I'd prefer if you chip and change. So go out there and make a difference if you can. And if you do, you're going to play more.
Well, so now, like, so I'm assuming, I just got off the plane, but I'm assuming that line's playing again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I would go back with him.
Yeah.
And so if you think of it, they're kind of physically built as a fourth line might be, right? Like, even though Timoshov's not a big guy, like, he's built like Trevor Moore. And, like, I was surprised when I saw him. Like, he's thicker than I thought. Like, he's... You know, he's a pretty stout guy. The GOAT, as Babcock likes to say, he's 6'5" every shift.
Yeah.
And then Shore's a pretty big guy. So, you know, you look at the other group they're competing with, because, you know, Gauthier's a constant. And Spezza and Patan don't really seem to, like, they're not the same. You're not even in a direct competition, even though they are for those spots, because they play so differently. And if Babcock has in his head he wants the bigger, stronger fourth line, then those other guys are in trouble.
Well, I think it's a glass half full type of win on Saturday because of the guys who got the job done. McKay have played well. That fourth line played well. And, yeah, Marner and Tavares, they're still kind of lost in the fog. They just have not shown up yet. They have not made an impact. But they're going to. They're too good of players. I said in the previous hour, it's not like Mitch Marner is going to have 38 points. Like, it's not going to happen. They're going to get it together. So if you can get something out of the players where you were nervous about what they might supply, and they might actually continue to be consistent, wait until the big boys do show up, then you get the team you were hoping to see.
Well, Ray, when you were playing, when you were scoring a lot of goals and it wasn't quite clicking, what were your expectations as far as what was coming up? Would you think that you might see a couple shifts on a different line and then you get reunited? Or what would your expectation be to help things start clicking? Because sometimes just going out there shift after shift is not necessarily the best recipe for guys to get it going.
No, my biggest problem was I start to get frustrated, and then you become frustrated with your line mates, you become frustrated with yourself. Then I would start to cheat and try and score more than playing like a regular game. So when I got, I liked the new line once in a while when I was struggling, just because, you know, it was like something different to look at. And the guys that I was playing with didn't have to look at me anymore, right? They were like, okay, we can just go play. However, I don't know if you could even really communicate that. Like, the coach might have to see it and say, okay, I'm going to move these guys around a bit. Babcock doesn't do that very much. Like, in his time in Toronto, he hasn't done it at all, really. The lines stay the same. He might move a guy for a game or two. Like, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't you just for a period, flip Kapanen and Moore?
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be an easy flip for me. Like, leave Mikhaev where he is. I think he's been the best story of the season so far. I'm super impressed with a guy that I didn't know anything about.
Really. He's got a little bit of Mark Stone in him, where it's like he's got a long reach and he's always around pucks and batting them down.
Really strong on pucks, yeah.
Because didn't it seem like, oh yeah, they got this guy and they're blowing smoke when they signed him last year and whatever. He'll come in and maybe he can chip in a little bit, but man, he's good. Like, he deserves the minutes he's getting.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player.
So maybe Kapanen go, if you put Kapanen there, this is how I would think anyway. He's on the right side. He's pretty clearly a rush player to open up some space. And then you would put more of a cycle player in Moore with Tavares and Marner. And as much as they dance all over on the rush, Marner does, they get a lot in the zone. Like, when they're playing well, and they would grind a puck out, and then Marner would lose somebody in the zone, and it would be more of a half-ice game, where Kapanen, I think, is better on the other side of the ice when he can really open it up. Would be a change I make.
A report over the weekend that Dubas was just in Russia talking with players. So clearly they have a scout over there, which every team would.
Right.
But they got somebody that they trust who's saying, I got to read on the next crop, because that's what they're banking on here. They know they don't have a lot of cap room, and you can't rely on an 18-year-old you just drafted.
And there's something else here, guys, that it got reported, and then it kind of went away. But next year, I believe the KHL is contracting again. You know, so they're going to make, there'll be fewer player or fewer teams, but there's also some kind of, I don't want to call it a cap, but it's some kind of financial system that makes it more likely that more players would be available to come over. And so I'm curious if a guy like Dubas says, or if it makes it harder for guys to go play there, so more players free themselves up. Maybe those are the guys you're looking at in your roster, like another entry-level guy like Mikhaev, because they're going to need the space all the time. Whatever it is, in whatever year, they're always going to need it until the cap jumps $5 or $6 million.
Edmonton and Chicago tonight, a chance to go 6-0 on the road too, man, like through New York, and they go 3-0 in New York, and now they're in Chicago tonight, and Chicago's not like they're world beaters. They got an opportunity. I believe they're home after this.
Yeah,
6-0 flying back to Edmonton, man, that would feel good.
Well, their next game's Wednesday in Edmonton. I'm doing that one. So I'm sure of it. They're the first team in NHL history to win their first five games when they've trailed in every game. Like, it's kind of crazy the way that they've been able to put this together and go on this run right out of the gate. Like, of course it's unsustainable and you're not going to win every game, but they've already put 10 points in the bag. So really now they've got 77 games left and they need 82 points. You're getting close to a 500 scenario here because they've already thrown these points in the bag. It's really a pretty amazing start.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good goaltending. You know, they're getting all their goals from kind of from four guys, which is interesting. And so you'll need more from the rest of them. But they got a couple young defensemen. Ethan Bear has played really well. When Larson went out, they're like, "Wow, we got to play these kids," and they've done well. It's been an amazing story for them.
You know what I was shocked by?
How much turkey you ate?
Yeah, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Both days?
It was disgusting. Oh, yeah, we were up at my wife's dad's on Saturday. We were at my parents' place yesterday. It was a double down. It was gluttonous. It was not good. But how the Philadelphia Flyers didn't protest their schedule early into the season and just say, "We're not doing that."
Yeah. Like, imagine Europe and then to Van?
They go Europe, home for a game, and then Vancouver, and they got a point on Saturday night. That might have been the most impressive point in NHL history based on the schedule.
Like, what we talked about. Why would you want that?
It's gross. It should be unacceptable. That shouldn't happen.
Well, so their first five games are, as you mentioned, they're in Prague, Philly, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. Thanks very much. And they should have won in Vancouver. Like, they dominated the third period. Markstrom was awesome.
Yeah, he was.
And then, I think Philly, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, they do. I think Carter Hart looks good.
Carter Hart's a hell of a goalie, and you don't want to lay this type of pressure on him. But he looks to me, even watching him for the last couple of years, like he's got all the tools to be a superstar in this league. Like, and that's rare at that age, at 21.
Just think, they used 8 goalies last year.
Yeah.
8 of them. It's like, almost like, do you have pads? Good, come and play.
Yeah.
And now this kid shows up, and maybe for the first time, I can't even think who would be. I think Ron Hextall was probably their last really, really solid guy.
Yeah, an everyday guy, absolutely. I mean, they rolled through some starters, Ray, but it was at the end of their careers. Like, there was Sean Burks.
And right. Van Beesbrook.
But wasn't the Cat down there at some point? Did Felix Potvin ever play in
Philly? I don't know if he was in Philly.
They had that Cat, Roman Chechmonic.
Oh, Chechmonic. Oh.
Yeah.
He looked like Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
He was a big dude, wasn't he?
But he, that
but
guy.
Remember, he made some crazy Spider-Man save. He was all over the place. He couldn't catch a thing.
No,
he didn't save many of my shots.
I read a stat. That was when Hitch was coaching. He was one of the fastest goaltenders to 25 shutouts. And I'll never forget.
Chechmanic
was, because the system there, Hitch had that team just so tight defensively. But Hitch did that for, think of the goaltenders, Marty Turco, Eddie Belfour.
Nitamaki was one of the other guys that put up big numbers.
Pascal LeClaire in Columbus.
I was just
going
to say, Pascal LeClaire had 10 shutouts, or 9 or 10 one year in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, Hitch made goaltenders, and Chechmanic was one of them. I remember Aginla went to dump it in one time in Calgary from our side of the red line, and he was going 10 feet wide. Chechmanic came out and went to stop it, fell down, and it dropped his stick somehow. It hit his stick and rolled in the net. Aginla wasn't even paying attention. He was sitting on the bench. They gave him the goal.
Nice.
It was unreal.
Huh? He scores 600. You're probably going to score a bad one every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, we got a text here before we let you go. I got to read this because this is going to infuriate people in Montreal, which I want to do on a holiday Monday.
Why not?
Michael with the new nickname for the GOAT, Jean Beligoat.
Oh, no.
He's Jean Beligoat. Tomorrow night, you have to use that, Ray. Jean Beligoat. Same. He's a graceful player, French-Canadian, shoots left.
Yeah.
He's basically Jean Beligoat.
No.
Only in Toronto, he's a fourth liner.
Beligoat.
I was going to say, if you would have said, pick a player from the past that he reminds you of, that might have been the last guy I selected.
Well.
The graceful Jean Beligoat.
The gentleman himself, Jean Beligoat. That's what he'll be referred to on this show.
That's very funny.
Shout out to Michael for texting
in. I love that.
On a holiday Monday.
That's great.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, I wouldn't have missed it.
Yeah, Well, you're in Toronto already, right?
Why don't we just call him Frederick Lafleur? Screw it. Frederick Lafleur.
That doesn't top Jean Beligot.
That would cause a riot.
Beligot is outstanding. Like as revered as Lafleur is in Montreal, Beliveau is on
another level,
a completely different level.
And he's like the monarchy. He's regal.
Right. It's him and the Rocket, basically.
Yeah. Hashtag on the road to 50.
On the road to 50. And the Hall of Fame, for that matter. All right, buddy.
Lafleur.
Alrighty, tomorrow boys, night.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. And I just talked to Dre, because I'm going to go up and watch. I got Minnesota, so I want to watch their game. Drake said that was a rather painful afternoon.
I watched it this afternoon, Ray.
And?
Well, if you need a nap before dinner.
This is the one?
Yeah. Not good. Not good.
Brucey Boudreaux's on the board.
Yeah.
Big W for Minnie.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be in a good mood tomorrow. So
he always will be. Rooting for the Leafs tomorrow night. Can't wait for that. All right, buddy.
Okay, boys. Have a good day.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.